Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our roundtable panel for this Thursday, the 6th of August. Very nice to have you with us. Very nice to be back in the studio.
Oh, boy, it is.
Actually,
we were on the road again.
That's right. Can you? I want you to sing the whole song.
On the road again.
You asked for it.
So, yeah, there you go. We were out Tuesday. We were at visiting our friends at Tanglewood. Had a lovely time.
Oh, great people.
Beautiful, beautiful day. And then yesterday we were at SPAC. Lovely people. Had a beautiful, beautiful time. So that was great. And but it's very nice to be back. We have a lot to talk about. So we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Speaking of being back, investigative reporter and University at Albany journalism professor Rosemary Armeo is back.
Yes, vacation. Whoa,
no,
my,
can you not?
Oh, I have a problem with my. I can't say anything more about this. No.
Nope.
Back from vacation in Alaska. Wow, amazing.
So
full of salmon.
Were they?
I'm almost red.
It was. This was a.
Just vacation. Yes.
That's good. That's good for you.
Yeah,
you're usually
I need that.
Saving the world kind of stuff. So that's good. And any comments about how one of the non-contiguous states is dealing with the issues that we deal with?
The most interesting thing was that they commonly dislike and make fun of Sarah Palin, which, of course, she's back in the news now. The Donald has said that he would like to see her in his cabinet or vice president or something.
Ooh, interesting.
And they have nothing good to say. It was all, she's like... They treat both her and Wasilla, the place that she is from,
yes,
like the West Virginia of Alaska. So I did enjoy that.
So similar to how Minnesotans often treated Jesse Ventura.
Yes. Yeah. Kind of embarrassed that this is how they're known. And Alaskans are very different. They're like frontier pioneer stock. I mean, they get out of...
So you fit right in.
No, I was like fish out of water, salmon, yeah. They would get out of a boat in the middle of a raining day and in the middle of a stream and have a fire going. You know, they'd reach up and pick a stick and there would be a fire. It was unbelievable.
Good stuff. Well, we'll I'm sure hear more of your thoughts and comments throughout
now.
The morning. No, not at all. I just want to also introduce Judy Patrick, who is with us, the editor of the Daily Gazette, who at a very late hour yesterday, I called up and said, oh, can you do this? And she said, yes, right away. So more than a little thrilled, and we thank you very much for being so kind.
She's terrific. What a great lady.
Also, I agree. Also, WAMC's Alan Chartok. By the way, does my mic sound echoey to you, or is it just in my headphones?
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear that?
Joe, let it be noted that Joe is talking to the people in the control room.
Yes. Well, I was actually even... Oh, you guys don't have headphones
on.
What's
the sticky stuff on the table? How come
well,
we can't
there,
have a regular
somebody
table?
Had a, we had a regular table, and then somebody, one of our listeners complained that they could hear us tapping on our typewriters. But
you try that.
But we do this, and you can still hear it, so I don't really know. We're temporary in here. It's a temporary studio, so we'll be back. The whole reason we're doing this is so everything will be...
Better.
You know, better, right. Mm-hmm. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joseph, and to all of you out there in Radio Land.
very nice to have you here. So let's talk about what's going on. And I'm fascinated by, of course, the big news that we'll talk about tomorrow is going to be the debate. But it's even dominating headlines today. We have a story this morning about how the candidates should debate Donald Trump. And I don't know. Do you think this is going to live up to the hype of how wild and woolly this could be of having 10 people, 9 of them going against the Donald?
I think it's going to be a mess. I think one of them, and it's not going to mean much, but one of the people at the bottom, one of the people in the tabs was saying today, which I thought was interesting, that if the psychology has to be, if you're completely out of it, you didn't even make the top 10 or you just made the top 10 and you're the 1% to do it, then you attack like crazy for Trump because you can get your name out there. It's a good way to do it. But if you are a Jeb Bush, for example, you have to be very careful because, you know, you're going to be the presumed front runner, even if he wins, you know, in terms of numbers. And you really should not attack the Donald. So there you are. There's my reporting on what I read this morning.
You know, excellent. You know, I tend to stay away from these things, but I think I might watch this one. There was an interesting Washington Post article that talked about how the candidates should not attack Trump, that they should take, you know, take some lessons from what he's accomplished so far in terms of getting the nation's attention and talking to issues that people care about, and that you're getting too much of this Washington establishment just dismissing him out of hand. And I thought it was an interesting point, because all week long we've heard about, you know, Trump doesn't debate well. He's, we need to engage him. And he's just, you know, he is a joke that won't be around next year. But I think this whole point that he is resonating with some people in America should be considered.
Sure. And people have made mistakes like that one with a lot of very dangerous characters in history without naming them specifically, and calling them clowns and saying, this guy has no chance and he won't be around. But as Joe referenced Jesse Ventura before, he got to be governor. He did.
He is a clown. Okay, I want to say it. I think media should continue to remind people that this is not someone qualified to be president. He has what, 26% of the Republican vote in polls. I mean, you get 30% of people in any poll who will support. Pol Pot had 30% of support of people in Cambodia. I think the trick on this debate is you can't be rude to him, because it comes off so bad in a debate. You couldn't be rude to Sarah Palin. Another joke, may I say? And you could not. Joe Biden was very polite to her and then eviscerated her. And that is what Jeb Bush and all of the rest of them should do. They know more than him. They know how to be, all of them, every one of them knows how to be a better president than he does. And they should act that way.
I take your point.
Yeah, I really don't like this. I think it's the media which built up Trump. And because he's great copy, we're all going to watch, because how can you not? It's a clown show. So we've built him up, and now we're saying, oh, well, you know, he's really got some resonance out there. We have to treat him with respect. No, we don't. We need to call him for the joke that he is.
But that's an interesting point. So do you sort of ignore that he's there, or do you call him on the actual stuff to try to bring him down?
That.
Okay.
Well, Ray wrote to us, and he doesn't agree. He said all of them. Simply attack Hillary. That's what they say. That's what his idea for them would be.
Well, they have to. They still have to primary. There's 17 of them, so one of them has to rise to the top, right?
Yeah, and I don't see, unless it might be like a great horse race in one of those films where, you know, the horse is last and all of a sudden starts to come around the crowd, you know, runs around. Can you see George
Seabiscuit?
Can you see George Pataki being Seabiscuit?
Yeah.
That would be interesting. He's not in the loser debate in the afternoon, right?
At 5 o'clock.
Yeah. Isn't that great that you referred to it as the loser debate? That's great.
So the, which also may be interesting, just out of, I think it will be fun to watch. But looking at the, your point, Alan, I thought I was listening to you talk to before we went on our road trip that with Brad Hayes, and now I forget the exact candidates, but he was quoting, you were talking to him about this Trump phenomenon, and he said, a Union College political scientist, and was on Congressional Corner, and said that if you look at the polls that were taken in the last three election cycles at this time, you had three Republican candidates that didn't even make it to New Hampshire. So certainly the history and the records of this show that you know, we are making this a circus. And if it wasn't Donald Trump and there wasn't something engaging and amusing about it, we probably wouldn't be paying attention.
That's right. And it's the press's fault, Joe. I expect that we're going to hear something from Rosemary on this, but I think it's the press's fault because
she said the media.
They want to sell newspapers.
I disagree. I don't think this is the press's fault. You can't lay this at the door of the press, because I think the press is covering something that people care about. I think I sincerely think that he is saying things that are, again, resonating with people. His positions may be entirely wrong, but you can't overlook how he's saying it and what he's saying.
So give us an example.
He is appealing to things people care about.
Yeah. Mexicans are racist. John McCain was not a hero because he got caught.
The immigration issue, obviously, this is an issue that the Republicans have got to deal with. The Democrats got to deal with. And so he is appealing to a base level of it. But you can't deny that he's appealing to an important issue that people care about.
Judy, you're right. And so is Rosemary, because while the immigration thing is a legitimate issue, which we see replicated in virtually every country in the world, and with the same effect. But Rosemary's also right in that he takes it to this level of stupidity, all Mexicans are rapists,
basically. Jeb Bush and Mario Rubio have spoken at length and with intelligence, might I add, about immigration and how to deal with it. But it's Trump who suddenly is given credit for bringing immigration to the heart of the debate. I just don't think that's true. I also don't think it's true, and you're hearing it, and you repeated it today from the article that you read, Judy, that this is a Washington media elite idea that Trump should not be taken seriously. Well, I really think there are people probably in Des Moines and in Anchorage who don't think he should be taken seriously either. He has very small numbers when you look at it overall. It's that one-third crazy factor that you can get to favor anything.
Name recognition is huge at this point, sure. And he obviously has name recognition. I mean, his name's been out there, and he's been on commercial television, primetime for years. He is a known entity. He's been in the public eye since the 1980s. So just by name recognition alone, add to it that he has a little showbiz circus sideshow style to him, then that's going to resonate, right?
If you think about it for a minute, name recognition, which you have just brought up, is huge. And I think we don't always understand that. I'm convinced that Andrew Cuomo is governor of the state of New York because his name is Cuomo. And really would have a shot at something else and something bigger also, because Papa Cuomo was adored by the American people, or by Democratic American people, large D. So sometimes we don't really get that people really aren't well versed in politics. They don't really like it, and then they get lazy and they say, "Well, I know that Trump name."
Which, if we get back to what we were talking about a month and a half, 2 months ago, as a Hillary Clinton versus Jeb Bush race next fall, well, then that is also name recognition, right?
Sure.
Dynasty and name recognition.
Sure.
Well, and the other factor in this election, which we have never seen to this extent, has been the money that's going into the election. Private money, Koch brother money, and all of the Democratic PACs, there is as many and as wealthy. And that goes a long way towards buying name recognition, too. So,
We haven't gotten your thoughts. We were talking about it earlier this week, but Joe Biden, the emergence of Joe Biden as a possible candidate.
I love Joe Biden. I'd happily vote for him, but I don't think it's serious. I don't think he's going to do it yet.
He's quoted in the paper today as aides to Biden saying he's 90% in. You don't buy that?
No.
Okay.
Well, if they say he's 90% in and they're aides, they're not saying it without his, acquiescence,
I would assume.
I would think.
Yeah.
And I think the guy, we have limited numbers of years on the earth, if you want to be president, then your child said to you on his dying bed, Dad, do this. I think it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, that is a really powerful thing to deal with.
Sure.
And especially if you see an opening, and it seems like there are a couple of cracks in the Hillary campaign.
Well, I talked to a lot of people. And I say, do you like Hillary? Forget about, are you going to vote for her? And almost uniformly, they say, I don't like her. I don't like her. Here's Rosemary holding her head, pulling her head.
Do you like Andrew Cuomo?
I'm not.
Who would ask that of a male candidate?
Well, no, no.
Do you like him?
No.
Excuse me.
You're way out of line, I think.
We said that about George. I heard that about George W. Bush for the entire time he'd be a nice guy to go have a beer with, but I wouldn't want him to be my president. I would like him as a person, but I wouldn't like him as a... I don't know that that's fair.
I take great offense at what you just said, Rosemary. I, in fact, ask everybody, do you like Andrew Cuomo?
You know, I think there has been a campaign to make people dislike Hillary. I think you hear these subtle things. Oh, she was rude to the waitress. Yeah. It's subtle, but it's been consistent for the last 10 years.
And
she's not nice.
She's not warm and cuddly. No, I'm not saying you have to be, but she's not.
I've done one-on-one interviews with her, and she could not be more. She really gets you into the whole thing.
Yes,
she does, and you like her when you're talking to her one-on-one. But she doesn't have that effect on mass media.
Why are we even talking about this? This is not a qualification for president. You don't have to be likable. No, you don't.
Oh, yes, you do. In order to get elected,
you don't think personality is important in running for president?
I think character is important.
Okay, so let's talk about her character.
If you want to talk about that, then it's like, do you trust her is the issue that's scary right now, and why Biden thinks he might have, or his aides at least.
So you don't like my question. Do you like her?
Yeah, I don't like that question.
Well, I like it, and I'm going to continue to do it.
I'm glad I'm in the middle. but I think it's true. I think there are people who vote on a candidate based upon whether or not they like them. I mean, whether or not they should is the issue.
I mean, I really appreciate your support, Judy.
Because of the nice smile. So, I mean, there's all kinds of stupid reasons to vote for president.
We bet on horses because of their name or their color that they're wearing. Right.
And the less you know, the more you resort to those kinds of, the realities. I like her. I don't like her. The horse is brown. Whatever. You know.
That's why programs like this are important, because you discuss the issues.
I love you, Judy. Thank you very much.
You're the best, Judy.
Our mission. Oh, yeah, our mission.
Bring us full circle. All right, let's take a break. We welcome your letters, and we'd love to hear from you. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable. It's good to have you back, Rosemary. The needles haven't pegged that much in like a week and a half. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back after this WAMC and BBC news break. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel for this Thursday morning. It's the 6th of August, and we are delighted to have you with us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. If you would like to weigh in and say, you know, all the give us an idea of what you think about different things, or maybe even just welcome Rosemary back.
Yeah, send letters too.
Yes, let's go to the mailbag.
Okay, here we are at the mailbag, and we've heard from George. I think Alan is right, and likability is a fairly important issue in politics. JFK was considered likable. Richard Nixon, not so much. FDR was likable. LBJ, not so much. Joe Biden is likable. Okay, he says, and here comes Maley, who says, Rosemary is spot on. The do you like her question is really asked about her as a woman to so many people. Alan may ask that question about Cuomo as well, but it's perceived and responded to by a majority of people as a subtle sexist referendum on Hillary Clinton. All right. And Narcissa says, dear Roundtable, so what precisely about Hillary is not likable, warm about Hillary? The very things that supposedly make her unlikable are her accomplishments. She's smart, she's educated, and she'll stand up for herself. Yes, yeah, so men do that all the time, and that does not make them less likable. Obama and Bill Clinton are two clear examples. But when a woman does it suddenly, she has a likability problem. That's why Rosemary gets so incensed when this question comes up, and is why I am. Because likability, when it comes to women, is code for dumbing yourself down. And how on earth can you run for president of the United States and dumb yourself down?
Yay, go. Good letter.
Oh, yeah, okay. Good morning, panel. Yes, Judy, programs like this are good, and I'm listening. I'm also listening to right-leaning programs. There are many voters like me not affiliated with any party. I don't like Trump. He's a loudmouth buffoon. But until I know more about all the candidates, he's got my vote. Let me read that sentence again. I don't like Trump. He's a loudmouth buffoon. But until I know more about all the candidates, he's got my vote. The lesser of all evils can't do worse than what we've had thus far, Colleen.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Mark says, good morning, panel. I think tonight's debate will have more viewers than any other debate has had in a decade. It's just like what Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan did for figure skating. Trump's antics will triple or even quadruple TV ratings. And that's thanks from Mark. And Bill says, a debate sponsored and organized by Fox Corporation is a sad example of how corporations have, can we say this? I think so, bastardized our democratic process. Why not have WAMC or some other legitimate public news organization sponsor a real debate of issues by real presidential candidates? Clowns need not apply. And Jill says, I missed some of this morning's discussion, so I don't know what you, if you talked about this. The fact that Donald Trump is leading in the polls may well reflect voters' extreme dissatisfaction and perhaps anger at the woeful state of government dysfunction at the feet of our current elected officials. And that's Jill from Del Mar. Well, I'm only reading one from each, folks. So, you know, if you're going to do it well. And W says, Trump simply appeals to the lowest common denominator of people who lack social awareness and common sense, same as W. And then Jeff says, I like Alan's question and I don't like her. And that's from Jeff. And then Joel says, I agree with Judy. Trump is a candidate that is defending a large group of people that have been silenced by strong progressive agenda. Nice to have you back, Rosemary. Great show as always. And Rick says, welcome, Rosemary. Welcome back from Alaska. Did you find that the climate there takes its toll on the residents? When we were there, the people looked to be older than they were.
I thought that was the beer.
Well, what I thought when you came back, the first thing I said is, you look great. You look really good.
Rejuvenated.
Yeah. Huh. Now, that's not a sexist comment. It just means you look relaxed and, you know, all like
it's
that.
It's vacation.
Yeah.
Vacation,
I don't want anybody saying I said something sexist. And then, what? And then.
But can you like her?
And then Josh says,
you look great. We don't like you, but you look great.
Josh says, dear Roundtable, how is Trump any less of a viable candidate than Hillary is? Hillary doesn't have any real resume nor any actual ideas on how to make the country better, and that's Josh.
Oh, Josh, really?
Okay. And then Ken says, curious, isn't it? Recommendations and prognostication about strategies for the non-debates when it's issues that cry out for serious discussion. Bernie will take care of that. And Stephen says, Rosemary, I agree Trump not qualified to be president. That has not necessarily stopped anyone from election. And then let's see here. I think that's it.
We have a great one. Do you see the one that says no subject?
No subject, yes. Rosemary. Uh-oh.
Yeah,
I don't know about
no,
this.
Read it.
You're from Joel. Okay,
Rosemary,
you sure?
Uh-oh, yeah. Love that.
Okay, sure. Rosemary, you are my new girl crush.
Oh.
All right.
Well, I think that's
they love
that.
You.
Well, no, they.
They love you.
Oh, I'm running for president. I have 26% support. The media has to take me seriously.
But it's true that strong women, decisive women, are often accused as being
bitches.
Bitches.
Yes.
And it's something that any woman in companies deal with, in TV deal with. It's a common problem.
So let me, and completely agreed. My question is to something both with the letter writer brought up and also something Rosemary brought up. It said, okay, but if you want to talk about, because the letter writer was talking about her credentials of running for president, mm-hmm. which I agree with you. I mean, I think she certainly has the credentials. I mean,
yeah, you can disagree with her, you cannot vote for her, but you cannot say she is not qualified.
And she has tons of ideas.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
So there's that. But then you have the trust issue, and right. that's what I would like you to address a little bit about, right. about the people who and maybe that's the core of the problem right. with people not liking
right
her,
and
not
trusting and the trust issue has been very well manipulated by Republicans. The whole Benghazi debacle was about trust, and now the email problem is about do you trust her or not. And it's infuriating to those of us who support Hillary because it's a problem of her own making. There's no reason this should be hurting her at all. Why did she make the decision she did about using a private email server? Why did she make the decision she did about destroying or keeping or releasing some emails? Just release them all. She knew this was coming, And she hasn't handled even the cover-up or the aftermath, not a cover-up. The aftermath she has not handled well either. When the complaint was made, she's not come forward and said, okay, this is what I did, this is why I did it. May have made a mistake, you know, okay, but here's my motives. We've not gotten that from her. She's done very badly. I really think she needs new communications people.
So normally I wouldn't go to the story next, but I will because it ties into pretty much the undercurrent of what we're talking about, and that is this fascinating study about women in film.
Yeah, wow.
So the numbers are stunning. From 2007 through 2014, women made up only 30.2% of all speaking or named characters in the 100 top grossing fictional films released in the United States. That's bad enough to repeat. For every 2.3 male characters who say, dude, there is just one woman saying, hello? That is one of the findings in a study, Inequality in 700 Popular Films, being released today, that looks at gender, race, ethnicity, and what one of the report's researchers describes as an epidemic when it comes to lack of diversity.
Yeah. It was shocking. And the other figure that's stunning in there is that one half of all theater ticket buyers are women. So yeah. we're perpetuating that. It comes, I think, from the structure in Hollywood and in film production. It's overwhelmingly male, and there's not a way around that until you get women in those jobs.
Yeah, you know, there was a movie in the late 30s called The Women, and it had only women in it. And I remember watching it and thinking, there are only women in this movie, but which I thought was a really great thing, but it was all about one woman cheating on another and trying to get the man back. And so it was disappointing in that respect. You see this, when you do see women in film, they are not often in lead roles, or they're not in heroic roles. They're always helping. They're good helpers, but we're never taking the lead. Someone would argue, well, that's because women don't do a lot of heroic things in society, but that's not true. It's just how you value what you deem as heroic.
And for every woman that you can mention who has leading roles and has a powerful position in Hollywood, Amy Schumer has certainly emerged. Mm-hmm. Melissa McCarthy has certainly emerged. And Julia Roberts and others who have Angelina Jolie, but then you can name 15 guys who have that position. Right. And so I think that's somewhat disingenuous to use that as an example. Also, I don't think Hollywood or us as a society accepting a very unfair label of chick flick or chick lit did anybody any good either.
So what you're really saying is it's a sexist world that women are, that women, especially women in film, have to be extraordinarily attractive in a sexual sense, and that's what this is all about?
No, it's more than that. I think that any outstanding individual can get recognition, male or female, and the men have to be pretty good looking too in order to get movie star status. But when you have a whole association that decides what films get told, it's stories that are missing, whole stories. What Judy was saying, what's wrong? Like or not. And why is it, man? Why are there only like Moby Dick stories? You know, there's no women in the stories. Do you go to those movies?
But I'm asking you a question. Why? Why is it so?
Because we're a male-dominated society, or we have been.
Well,
And that's when you look at English literature in the 17th, 18th, 19th centuries, and even 20th century, most of the novels are written about men doing heroic things or men doing this or men doing that. You're seeing a lot of them are the result that they were male authors, that women didn't have a lot of time to be writing. You're seeing that change a little bit, but I would imagine it also, if you surveyed the number of books written this year, how many male characters were the dominant ones, I think you'd still get a dominant.
Well, and I'm trying to find the number, and I can't find it. I can't find it in front of me. But Jodi Picou, who is a best-selling author, made a comment and a figure about the number of women who were reviewed in the New York Times. Of that for every female that women author who is reviewed in the New York Times, just using the New York Times as an mm-hmm. example, that there are like six or seven men who are reviewed. But which is not proportionate with the number of, because it's fairly equal, of the number of women writing books versus men writing books. So literature is certainly a part of this. I think television is certainly a part of this. Movies are a part of this. And it's the society as a whole.
And again, half of all the people buying tickets are women. So we're making these decisions too, which is...
Yeah, and to Alan's good point, I think, of the this idea of, you know, and you mentioned it too about attractiveness. I think it is interesting that we also, again, you go to the people like, you could certainly say Angelina Jolie or somebody like Bradley Cooper or Julia Roberts, but then you do have a Melissa McCarthy or a an Amy Schumer or a Kevin James or an Adam Sandler. And I think that's where one of those things where talent wins out, where people enjoy the person and not, you know, right, necessarily what they look like. But it's really rare.
Well, we see it in politics and we see it in the movies.
I did not know Amy Schumer was related to Chuck.
She is.
That was shocking.
She is.
Distant cousins.
Yes. Yeah.
She used to have, like, when she first started, she actually had a good bit about that she sort of has let go over the years.
Do you have Rosemary, do you have any famous distant cousins?
I think Anne Bancroft is related distant.
Really? That's impressive. Joe, do you?
No.
Judy, do you?
I do not.
Yeah, well, do I do. Second cousin, Erica Jung.
Wow.
That's
pretty good. That's not even that distant a relationship. When,
no.
Went to camp with. Our grandfathers were brothers.
Wow.
And you're very close.
No. Not at all.
Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this short break.
Support comes from the New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, serving the public for over 30 years. 800-342-3661. The Sembrick, Bolton Landing, New York, presenting members of the Philadelphia Orchestra in concert, Sunday at 7:30 p.m. Sembrick.org. And Stony Point Center, an open space in the Hudson Valley, staffed by a community of Jews, Muslims, and Christians committed to peace and social justice, accepting bookings for conferences and retreats. StonyPointCenter.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel discussion this morning. Rosemary Armeo, Judy Patrick, and Alan Chartok making up the group this morning. I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your comments roundtable at WAMC.org. We have a letter or two, and then we'll get back to our other topics that we have to discuss this morning.
Says James, sexism. I don't know the movie, but a good example is at a premiere of some movie with Adam Sandler and Kevin James and Selena Gomez. I'll bet you do, Joe, because you know all of these wonderful things.
Yeah, I don't know.
The two guys showed up in sweatpants looking like slobs, and Selena showed up in an elegant gown showing skin. If she showed up looking like an out-of-work bum like the other two, she would have been torn to bits by people. That's all part of the deal. Okay, and then E said...
Seems true.
Yeah, he says, I believe the reason there are fewer parts in Hollywood films for women is a matter of box office revenue. Women will often go to see male character-based films more than when males will go to what they perceive as chick flicks. And Mark says, I wore a Bernie for President button and a T-shirt for 2 days in Kingston this week in public places, and nobody blinked or said a word to me. Very sad. Well, let's see. And then another George, not only are women fairly seen on film, women of color, when they are seen, are generally stereotyped: the black sassy friend, the Asian martial arts girlfriend, the smart South Asian Middle Eastern girl with parent problems. And he signs it, a different George. Exactly. I knew that. Tom wrote again, but we only read one to a customer. And I guess... says Karen, I completely agree with Rosemary that being perceived as likable should not be criteria for president. There should also be no sexism or racism or terrorism. Reality, however, diverges from these shoulds, and it seems, Bill Clinton aside, that Democrats don't get this. I think the perceptions of our animal selves, ourselves play into many interactions, and I don't think Hillary's unpopularity is a product of her intelligence or work or even the fact that she's female, but of subtleties in her attitude, at least as revealed publicly. Everybody likes Elizabeth Warren. I got to talk to you about that. Not everybody does. I do, but not everybody. Who is equally outspoken? Okay, and I guess I was listening to one of my history podcasts yesterday when the host addressed a complaint that they were doing too many episodes about women. The host pointed out only 20% of their episodes even contained women, and one of those was a corpse that had turned into soap.
Wow.
So, finished the host, we're going to remedy this by doing even more episodes about women who aren't saponified. Anybody ever hear that word, saponified?
Is that turned into soap?
Oh, so yeah, saponified corpses, even. Got it. Thank you, Rosemary. You're so smart.
Word of the day.
Yes. Okay. Let's go.
All right. evil laugh there.
It was only that I saw, you know, one of the letters from a frequent letter writer.
Yes.
And it was, you know, one more thing, so I didn't read it.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about the Texas ID law, federal appeals. Panel ruled Wednesday that a strict voter identification law in Texas discriminated against blacks and Hispanics and violated the Voting Rights Act of 1965, a decision that election experts called an important step toward defining the reach of the landmark law.
Well, one of the things I found so interesting in the piece in the Times this morning was what was in and what was out as identification. So, for example, your student ID, they don't want students. That's the last thing they want. So your student ID could not count.
But your secret carry permit.
But your voter registration also didn't count. Can you imagine your voter registration doesn't count?
Right, your concealed gun carry permit
wasn't allowed.
So it's all, as we say, political.
I think this is an encouraging sign that even weakened as it is by the Supreme Court, the law is still having some effect and stopping some of the worst kinds of offensive laws to stop voting. And Texas appears to be one of those.
Yep.
But it does sound like they're going to still require ID before people can vote in Texas. They just have to go back and maybe be more liberal about what kind of IDs they're going to accept.
Sure. The moment you say you have to come in with that piece of paper, you're going to disqualify people from the groups you would like to the Republicans would like to disqualify people from in Texas. It's that simple.
Again, emphasizes, because I don't think we emphasize it enough, there have been no problems with voter fraud in Texas or any other place in the United States for decades. No major problems. In fact, the problems, even minor problems, hardly exist.
And the point was whether or not the federal government would have been able to come into Texas and monitor what was happening. And I guess that's not going to happen under the Supreme Court ruling.
Right. They ended monitoring. Right.
And it's 50 years since the Voting Rights Act passed, and we're still dealing with these kind of issues in a more subtle way.
Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll talk a little bit about this tomorrow, but we should note, and we'll be airing something on this a little bit later, but the John Stewart's last day tonight.
Did you see his set is going to the museum?
Yes.
Which is the Gannett financed Hall of Fame of Journalism in Washington, D.C. They're going to take his set.
Well, it's a sad day. And to me it is. The idea that this man who has revolutionized the way we get our news. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a study, what was it, half the kids or all the kids said they got half their news or all their news from John Stewart. And so here's this comedy show which turns out to be more truthful to many people than the news itself. Are you following me? In other words, it's supposed to be funny, but it's so on target that many people, including me, accept it as, I wish everybody would tell the truth this way.
His methods of telling the news, we're very much out of the old tradition of progressive journalism, which is you compare what someone is saying now to what they said in the past. You look at government records to back up what's really happening. His delivery was funny, but his content was always truthful.
You know, and it's a lesson to everybody in the news media that you have to, you can't just do news the way you've always done it. You have to really think about engaging the audience. It's our, yes, part of our responsibility is not to just put it out there, but to make sure people are actually consuming it.
It obviously had an ideology and a bend to it, but the thing that it is sad, and with the exception, I believe, of John Oliver, who is doing an exceptional job on the HBO show, I think we will mourn the loss of that voice of someone who is taking a press conference, a story, and investigating it in a comedic way, but investigating it, bringing out comments, showing the hypocrisy, showing the history, and going back and pulling clips from 8, 9, 10 years ago. We don't do that in the traditional press. We don't have the manpower to do that in the traditional press. And here you have a bunch of very smart writers, and who come up with this, and I certainly don't want to. I have great faith. I think this. Having seen Trevor Noah, who will be the new host, I think it'll be a different program. But it'll. I certainly think if that mission remains, and he, I think he's certainly equipped to bring it somewhat. But we're certainly losing something with John Stewart.
It'll be interesting to see what he does next. Maybe the voice won't be lost, as
hopefully you're not. No.
Yeah, and it's also going to be interesting to see what Colbert does next.
Yeah,
that's right.
What he does with the show starts September 8th with The Late Show on CBS. So see, because we're not going to see that character, but we'll see Colbert, but to see what he's able to do and bring out on late night TV. We are just about out of time. Do you have a letter or two?
Yeah, sure. Listening in today, I heard Rosemary say that character, in quotes, trumps likability in vote-getting, while Alan tried to make the opposite point. Rosemary and Alan are coming from opposing sides of the brain, and Alan's side wins votes. There is a proven trust ladder, in quotes, that rules our emotions. The first step is likability, followed by trust that leads to credibility. You'll never really steps two or three without likability. Check this out via hundreds of books and newspapers, and that's Dan from Queensbury. And Robert says, John Stewart is gone. Long live John Oliver. Bob from Albany. I think that's it. R says, I agree that there is sexism in the movies. I would like to also say that I believe there is sexism on the Fox News Channel. Why is that almost every female news presenter in the Fox News Channel has been dressed up like a Barbie doll?
And blonde.
I saw Megyn Kelly yesterday. I could not believe it. She's like plastic.
No other major news outlet does this. Disagreed. I think if you look at the Today
Show. CNN does it too.
And if you look at the Today Show in the morning.
Oh, yes.
You don't have
a
lot of leg. And you know, yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
All right, we're out of time. Thank everybody for joining us this morning. Rosemary, great to have you back. See you tomorrow. Judy, thanks again for filling in today. Appreciate it. Alan, see you tomorrow as well.
Yep.
And we'll be back with more show after this.